Now we come, friends, to a very important section. And as I say, these are incidents that are recorded here. You have no detailed account of the children of Israel for these wasted years in the wilderness. Now, we have here chapter 16 through 19. We have four incidents that are recorded, and they all concern the priesthood. You have, for instance, in chapter 16, the gainsaying of Korah. Chapter 17, Aaron's rod that budded. Chapter 18, the confirmation of the priesthood. And chapter 19, this offering of the red heifer. All of this pertains to the priesthood, and again, all of it has a message for us. Now, chapter 16 opens with the murmuring of the children of Israel. And it's the fifth murmuring we've already had. And before we get out of the chapter, you have the sixth murmuring. In fact, you can divide the wandering of the children of Israel according to their murmurings in the wilderness. Now, here is a murmuring among the priesthood. In fact, it's led by Korah, a very prominent Levite. Now, let me read chapter 16, the gainsaying of Korah. Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, son of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Now this is a rebellion against divinely constituted authority. First of all, Korah was a Levite of great authority, and the men that were associated with him. In fact, 250 out of the tribes of Israel. Now, a rebellion must have men of character back of it. It must have brains and money, by the way, generally. This was no small affair. And they make an appeal to the mind of the mob. And this is the way that it's done. Now, you probably thought all these protest movements today were new. They're not new at all. Here is a protest movement against the establishment, against Moses, and it's led by these men. They're men of ability. And the appeal to the mob is, your rights are being infringed upon. Your liberties are being curtailed. You're not having it as good as you ought to be having it. And believe me, all these protesters ought to make a trip to some of the other countries. And by the way, these that are moving toward the communist center today ought to recognize you don't rebel. You're not permitted to have liberty at all. You'd never be permitted to rebel. Now, actually, this rebellion was not true to the facts, and the charge they made is absolutely unfounded. Moses was not taking too much upon him. Now, if you go back in his history for just a moment, for the facts. When God called him, what did he do? He refused. He didn't want to do this. And even after God had trained him in the wilderness, he didn't want to do it. In fact, Aaron became his helper. And he's the meekest man on earth. And when Joshua wanted Moses to silence the prophets, why, Moses refused. And at that time, he expressed a wish that all of God's people might prophesy. My friend, Moses was a sinful man, but he wasn't guilty of taking too much upon himself. Now, what was really the root trouble here? Well, it was the jealousy of Korah. You see, this matter of jealousy is an awful thing, and it's a tragic thing when it gets into the church. All authority is God-given. No man taketh this honor upon himself. And God had given the places in the camp when they started out. Korah had his, Moses had his, and frankly, this rebellion must be dealt with, and extreme measures are going to be used. And they made a very subtle appeal to the people. They accused Moses of taking too much upon him, and also Aaron, and it was a very subtle appeal, because that's the thing that's used today for the mob, that your rights are being infringed upon, your liberties are being curtailed. And right now, we've been through a series, in fact, an epidemic of protest movements. There's a great deal of talk about we want more liberty. My friends, people have more liberty in this country than any place or time in the history of the world. What men and women are doing today in this nation could never have been done any time in the past in any country. Been impossible. And it would have brought any nation down, would have destroyed it. And if it's permitted to continue in this country, of course, it will bring our nation down. Naturally would do that. But this is the subtle part. People talk about wanting liberty today, wanting freedom today. And it's a false charge, of course. And it was a false charge here made against Moses. As we saw, Moses was a meek man, meekest man on the earth. He didn't even want the job as leader. He refused it when God offered it to him at first. And then when these people began to prophesy, why, Joshua wanted to have them stop because Moses was the spokesman. Why, Moses refused. He wouldn't stop them. Why, he said, I wish it were possible for all the people to prophesy. Now, this man Moses, friends, he was a sinful man, but he's not guilty of this. He's not taking too much upon himself. Now you have the backbone of it, and as we said last time, the thing that was back of Korah's rebellion was the jealousy of Korah. And that is the thing that wrecks our churches. It's causing, I'm confident, the problems today in our churches. Paul enjoined us to walk in meekness and lowliness of mind, walk in humility, and the reason for that is to get rid of this awful thing, terrible thing, of jealousy. Well, you find jealousy in the choirs today, and the choirs call the war department, as you know of the church. Maybe that's unfair to say that. A friend of mine, however, says that when the devil is cast out of heaven, he fell in the choir loft. Well, I sometimes think that's quite possible, but it's not only in the choir, but you find today that pastors and boards are in disagreement, our individual board members. And back of that is always jealousy. It's the root trouble of all of our division and all of our trouble today. And jealousy is an awful thing. It's a terrible thing. Now, we need to recognize that all authority is God-given, and no man taketh any honor on himself. And God had given the places in the camp when they started. You remember, Korah was given a certain office. He happened to be a member of the tribe of Kohath, and they had their duties, and Moses had his duty. You see, the picture today that Paul gives us is of the church as a body, like a human body. And the body has many members. The church has many members. And when God saves you, he puts you in the body by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you're to function in a certain way in the body of believers. Now, there are many, many gifts of the Spirit, therefore. This idea today that you've got about a half a dozen is a sad mistake. And there's not just one gift to begin with. Now, if you are a Christian, you've been given a gift, and you're to function in the body of believers. Now, there's one thing for sure. All the body is not tongue, and therefore not everybody would speak in tongues, even if that was a gift today. And Paul says that not all the body is an eye or an ear. If it is all eye, what about the hearing? You have to have a body that functions, and every individual has a gift, and there are many gifts. But Paul calls one helps, and I just think of the hundreds of ways in which you can help. Why, right here in Southern California, we have a group of volunteers that come out to our headquarters, our radio headquarters, and they give time. Some of them are retired people. Some of them are housewives. Some are widows that lost their husbands, and they probably get a little lonely. But they had office experience, and they can help us a great deal. Fact of the matter is, they have the gifts of helps. Now, let's look at that for a moment. Now, they can't get here before the microphone and teach the Bible. And you want to know something? You ought to see I'm all thumbs when I try to help them out there. Somebody said to me, do you read every letter that comes? I read a great many of them, friends, which I couldn't answer all of them myself. You see, I have to have help, and I got a lot of people that have got the gift of helps. And I have one man, he's an expert cabinet maker. Well, he made the bookshelves, the cabinet, for my office out there in my study where I make the broadcast. Now, he can't make the broadcast, but I can't make the cabinet. You see, every man has a gift, and God wants you to function in that. And your business is not to try to get somebody else's office or a job. All this insane vanity today of Christians wanting to be made chairman of a board or to get on a board or to do something publicly. Well, my friend, most of the members of the body are not seen. We've got them all covered up today. And rightly so, I think, these members function, though. And without their functioning, why, the body couldn't function today. So this man, Korah, is motivated by jealousy, a spirit of jealousy. It's the thing that motivates a great many people today that are troublemakers in our churches. And unfortunately, these people push themselves into a place of leadership. I know many men and women in churches today that have pushed themselves to a place of leadership. And they're attempting to usurp a gift that they do not have at all. They have no particular ability to do the thing that they're doing. God never called them to do it. And that is hurting the church more than anything. Now, this rebellion had to be dealt with in a very definite, in a very serious manner. And believe me, God's going to deal with it in a very definite way. And so we find that God moves in a very definite way here. And I tell you, friends, the judgment of these men is going to be serious. Now notice what God did. Verse 4, and when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. He spoke unto Korah and unto all the company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his, and who is holy, and who will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. Now, they said to Moses and Aaron, you take too much on you. Now, God says, you take too much on you. And so what we find here, that God appears as he does at the time of the rebellion, at the time of the murmuring. And this is the second time that the glory has appeared in connection with the rebellion and murmuring in the camp. In verse 19, and Korah gathered all the congregation together against them under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourself from this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Now God's going to judge them in a very definite way. You see, these men even refused to obey Moses. They set up their own little worship, and they intended to divide the people, and it was a terrible thing. Therefore, God must deal with it, and God must judge it. Now in verse 31, notice, it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. Now, it's quite interesting the way God judged them. They attempted to divide the people. And there is a law of God which operates. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's interesting. God judges the very same way in which the man sins. That's been true. It was true of old Jacob. It has been true of every other man. It was true of David. It was true of Paul the Apostle. God judges in the same way that you sin. Now, these men led a rebellion, and the earth opens up, it divides, and swallows them. And we read in verse 35, and there came out a fire from the Lord, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Now, these leaders felt like that they ought to have a big stake in service. And I'm afraid today that there are many laymen who have a marvelous gift of serving God in probably some humble capacity, and they get the impression they should run the church. And I say it's tragic when that happens. I've seen it wreck several churches, and sometimes they feel like that they ought to be the one actually preaching. Many of them think they can. Well, I don't think every man has that gift on these lines, friends. You have a gift if you're a Christian. But that gift may be something you're not even thinking of. Did you know that Dorcas in the Scripture had a gift of sewing? She made clothes for the widows. When Simon Peter saw that, he raised her from the dead. You know why? Because that gift was that important that they needed her in the early church. And I think today we could do without a lot of the voices that are speaking today. I don't think we probably need more voices speaking. We probably need somebody that can sew a little bit better, or somebody to do some humble task around the church today. May I say to you that these are gifts that are important in our day. Now God says in verse 37, speak unto Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the census out of the burning, scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. Now we find here that the children of Israel are still complaining. And we find that in verse 41, that on the morrow all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. Now that these men have been judged, why, they're blaming Moses and Aaron for it. And Moses and Aaron wasn't the one. God did it, you see. Actually, it's rebellion against God, and it's murmuring against God. Now, what happens? Notice verse 42. After the rebellion again, the glory appears. I'm reading now. Came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, a cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And this is the thing that happened. Every time they rebel, the glory of the Lord would appear. But now this time, God is judging the people. And the very man they're complaining against now, he's the one that stands between the people and God to avert the judgment of God from them. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there's wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. And Aaron took, as Moses commanded, ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. While the very man they rebelled against is the very man that saved them. He stood between them. The very one who they crucified on a cross was the very one, friends, that saved many of them that were there. And I think even Saul of Tarsus was there that day. Now, this is a tremendous thing and a tremendous lesson, by the way.